Blog Talk Radio.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
Right.
At
6:00.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of this.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
BlogTalkRadio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com. And I tell you who ain't the man. Donald Trump is not the man. Right now, President-elect Joe Biden is the man. Welcome, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Once again, it's Thursday. It's November already, November 12th, I believe it is, 2020. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining me. It's the Ron Kelly Show on the web. It's on BlogTalkRadio.com and on all across the United States of America, various stations all across the United States of America. Shout out to KCAA Radio in Loma Linda, California, who is blazing the Ron Kelly Show right now. Also, WWPR 1490 AM in Tampa Bay. We're on the East Coast and the West Coast. In any case, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for sparing me and all of you yet another week in this crazy upside-down world we are existing in right now. A shout out to Ronald McCready, my brother, my fourth grade classmate. I still don't remember. Shout out to Dave Ullman, who's watching the program. Thank you all. Thank you to everybody. Shout out to my folks who listen to the Ron Kelly Show on Blog Talk Radio. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. And the Ron Kelly Show is also streaming live on YouTube. Right now, the Ron Kelly Show YouTube channel is up and running tonight, and we're streaming live there. And so if I get chopped off again like I did last week, if I get cut off again, well, I don't know if I got cut off. I don't want to anger the Facebook folks. But last week, you had a couple of interruptions, two of them, as a matter of fact. So I thank you to the folks who kept following me wherever I was going. Thank you so much for joining me. Shout out to Dave Ullman. I hope you're feeling better, man. I'm going to have to face that demon at some point. Probably at the beginning of next year. But I'm fine. Other than that, I'm just fine. Thank you. Thank you to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, everybody. It's oh man, what is happening now? So we have Joe Biden is the president-elect of the United States of America. And on January 20th, Joe Biden will be inaugurated and Kamala Harris will be inaugurated as the president and the vice president of the United States of America. Kamala Harris will be the first black woman. Let's see, here we go. All right, see, here we go. It's starting already. Kamala Harris will be the first African-American and the first Indian-American, South Asian-American person to be the vice president of the United States. And we had, and Joe, so it's Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, as all you well know. So, I mean, it's been like overwhelming watching, you know, what's been going on. And I tell you, I feel a little sigh of relief. I feel a little sigh of relief. Shout out to Bunny McKnight, my brother. I feel a little sigh of relief knowing that Donald Trump is not going to be the president for not much longer. So we still got a couple of months left now. You still got the rest of November. You got December and you got January. So hopefully within that time period, he won't do anything crazy. He's already started firing people. He fired the Defense Secretary, Mark Esper, yesterday or Tuesday. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And, you know, well, I'll get into this a little bit more a little bit later on in the program. That might be the first thing up. And also, I want to talk about an email that I got from a listener. And, you know, and I talk about stuff sometimes, and people will call me and say, "Were you talking about me?" Say, no, I wasn't talking about you. For what, you know? And I talk about certain things, and they do relate to some people that I know, and then they turn around and they call me or text me or however they get in touch with me to try to find out if I was talking about them. So, no, I was not talking about you. You are not the only person who's in a unique situation. I'm going to talk a little bit later on in the program, probably after the first break, about a woman who sent me an email. You know, she knows I don't talk about interpersonal relationships and that kind of stuff. That's, you know, I'm not nobody's Dr. Phil. But she did send me an email, so I am going to address it in the next break. So, but for right now, we have Donald Trump, who has lost the election, has been not seen outside, besides yesterday going to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier to honor the veterans. And since then, he hasn't been seen outside for 6 days. Now, for the first 2 days after the loss, he went golfing. And see, he's acting just like Hillary Clinton, Max. You know, when Hillary Clinton lost in 2016, and all the folks gathered in New York at the hotel, hundreds of people were there, and Hillary was so destroyed by the fact that she lost that she didn't even show up. She didn't even come out. She did make a speech a day or two later, but she was so distraught because she thought she was going to win. All the polls said she was going to win. All the polls said that Biden was way ahead. You know, we just got to get rid of the polling. I mean, the pollers, the pollsters, I mean, if I was running for anything, I would not ask anybody to do any polls. The polls were crazy wrong again, and the election was a lot closer than what the poll said it was. Now, granted, Vice President Biden did win. He did ascend to the presidency. But shout out to Jimmy Williams, my brother, from another mother. And yeah, and so Joe Biden did win. But the polls were wrong again. They had Hillary as a lock. Hillary's going to win. There's no problem. We're absolutely 100% sure Hillary's going to win. And Hillary lost. And so the polls, once again, had Biden way ahead, 10 points, 11 points. And even though Biden did, Biden won a popular vote by like 5 million votes. And that's what makes Trump's lawsuit so frivolous. I'll get into the Trump lawsuits. I was watching it earlier, and they were showing like a Zoom court. Oh, you got Trump has lawyers going into the courts with no evidence. No evidence. And these lawyers are going into the courtroom with no evidence, and they're getting reamed out, handed a new ass by the judge. So I'll get into that, too. But, yeah, so we have a new president. Will be sworn in January 20th, and I am feeling very well, feeling much better. Shout out to Jimmy Williams, who says, "What's up, my brother? Tell everybody the witch hunt is over. Trump is done. Move on." You see, it's funny. That social media is putting out some of the most outrageous nonsense. There's a lot of people, and I battle with them all the time just for fun. And there are people on Facebook. Shout out to Jazzy Jess, who's watching the program. Thank you so much. There are people on social media who are still you know, carrying this nonsense that Trump was cheated out of the election. Now, at last count, the last time I looked, Joe Biden had 76 million votes. That's more votes than anybody in the history of the United States has ever gotten. 76 million votes. But what's stunning to me is that 70 million people still voted for Trump despite the coronavirus, despite the racism, despite the misogyny, despite the, you know, you couldn't have had a worse president, and still 70 million people voted for Trump. And on social media, if you look on Twitter, Facebook, you know, some of the other sites, you'll see that there are people who still believe that Donald Trump was cheated out of the election. You got people on Fox News who are carrying on this nonsense about Trump being beaten, being robbed, about vote stealing and dead people voting and all of this stuff. And you know, and it's not going to make a difference, because the last time I looked, Donald Trump had lost 12 lawsuits. And I was watching today on MSNBC how Donald Trump is losing every lawsuit, just about he's losing. The only one he did win was he filed suit in Arizona because he wanted his people, he wanted the poll observers to be a little bit closer to the people who were voting. So instead of being 12 feet away, the judge gave in and let him be only 6 feet away. That's the only lawsuit that he's lost. But he's been lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit that Trump has filed, and lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit is getting thrown out. And I got to tell you, I do feel a little bit of a sigh of relief, because I tell you, I was on pins and needles when I was watching the coverage. Shout out to Steve Kornacki with that big board. Man, I mean, if I trust anybody, I don't trust the pollsters, but I definitely trust Steve Kornacki at MSNBC. And I was on pins and needles watching the election, and it was up and down, and then for two or three days you didn't know who won, and then finally on Saturday, boom, they called it for Joe Biden. Trump has been in the House ever since. Shout out to Albert Vega, my brother. Blessings, my brother. Love you, man. Love Ron. Blessings, my brother. Loves you. Love you too, my brother. I hope that you let you go back on Facebook at some point with Albert Vega spinning the wheels. But if you don't catch him on Facebook, you can catch him on DYMusicRadio.com. I don't know if the show comes on the same night, but you can check Albert Vega out. Spinning the wheels make you feel a little bit better on your isolation period on DYMusicRadio.com. Okay, Jimmy Williams says, Trump didn't do nothing in 4 years. These people are brainwashed. Okay, Albert Vega says, not yet. Yeah, you're right. The people are, they, you know, these people are, I mean, they're going to go to their graves thinking that Donald Trump actually did win this election. They're going to go to their graves believing that. And I just find it's just so unbelievable that people are actually thinking that Trump won. Okay, but I'm going to get into this Trump stuff. I'm going to peel the onion, and I'm going to pull it apart for you guys so you can get a grasp of what's going on. Because I know a lot of y'all don't watch the news as much as I do. A shout out to Sean Williams, who's watching the program. Thank you so much. And I'm going to peel the onion on this thing, because – This is outrageous. So anyway, once again, I'm feeling pretty ducky right now, because we do have a new president who's going to take over on the 20th of January. But see, but Donald Trump, see, and I don't even understand why anybody would have voted for Trump in the first place. I mean, I get it. In the beginning, they said, well, he ran on being different. Yeah, he was different, all right. He ran on being an outsider. Yeah, he was an outsider, all right. And that's the thing that Donald Trump hung his hat on, because people were tired of the same old politicians coming in, coming to Hillary Clinton. It was Clinton, the Clinton family, and the Bush family. That's what the politics were about in America, the Clintons and the Bushes. And people were tired of that. So they said, hey, what the hell? Let's vote Donald Trump in. And they voted him in. And what did they get? They got 3.5, almost 4 years, 4 years of chaos, 4 years of straight chaos. Which is, thank God that, you know, that he didn't start something that we wouldn't be able to finish. You know what I'm saying? Thank God. But, yeah, so I'm going to get into that a little bit later on. I'm going to get into this email that a listener sent me. Now, I don't talk about this stuff, but I'm going to get into this this email. just for a second, because I do need to serve my listeners. Now, I get a lot of emails, but this one here, I'm definitely going to approach. Anyway, everybody, it's 18 minutes past the hour. You are listening to The Ron Kelly Show, and it's on Blog Talk Radio. On the web, it's on blogtalkradio.com. And terrestrially, that means in stations on the ground, it's on various stations across the United States of America. Boulder, Colorado, Memphis, Tennessee, Loma Linda, California, Tampa Bay, Florida, and several other places where nobody lives. But we're going to fix that, though. We're going to fix that. Anyway, once again, thank you to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The coronavirus is spreading like wildfire. And once again, we're here in New Jersey where the Ron Kelly Show emanates from. There's already being some measures are being put in place. And pretty soon, it's going to be back to March, April, where you can't go nowhere and you can't do nothing. Unfortunately, that's where it's going to go. But I'm going to get into this email. It's about 19 minutes past the hour. So I think what I'm going to do right now is take a quickie break, and I'll come back with more of this show. You're listening to The Ron Kelly Show, everybody. And on the web, it's on blogtalkradio.com. It's The Ron Kelly Show. .com.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of The Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Yes, indeedy, everybody. It's The Ron Kelly Show. Welcome. And it's on the web. It's on blogtalkradio.com and all across the United States of America and all four time zones, actually. Anyway, thank you so much, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Shout out to Timothy Cameron, who says Trump is a showman. His campaign was more comedic than an HBO stand-up. Yeah, but to think about this, you know, shout out to Timothy Cameron. Thank you for that. But see, but there was another, I mean, yeah, you're right. It was comedic in a lot of ways. Shout out to Albert Vega, who says, I was reading and some of his staff members are having a party for him being elected for a second term in part of the White House. Now, they had a party on election night and three more of his people caught the coronavirus. It's just a sad testimony. And you can imagine how countries across the world are looking at America like with just a big joke. So I'm looking forward to Vice President Biden becoming President Biden and restoring some of the respect back to this country that we've lost with Donald Trump, walking through the NATO meetings like a drunken sailor and knocking everything over. I mean, just unbelievable. And thank God that, you know, he did have some kind of limit because he didn't put us in a war. So anyway, everybody, thanks so much for watching me. Who is trying to call? I wish people would not try to call me. Okay. Now, I got an email from a young lady. I'll get back into this Biden-Trump stuff. I know y'all are probably overwhelmed with it, so I'm going to break away from it for a second. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this email. There's a long email, so I'm not going to read it. But basically, with the woman, she was not – it was an odd connection that she made. Lady from Newport News, Virginia, I believe it was. And like I said, the email was really long, and I did read it, but I'm not going to read it on the air because it would take up too much time. Now, what she said that she's married, she has a husband, they have a couple of kids, and her gripe initially was that every time she gets into a fight with her husband runs to his mother's house, and the mother takes him in. Now, I remember when I was married, and my mother would not get involved in my marriage, period. I would go to my mother's house, whenever I got into it with my wife, former wife, I would go to my mother's house and I try to get some sympathy from my mother. My mother was like, no. She said, no, you married her, you go back home, and you know, you man up, you go back home and you straighten that thing out. Now, I was pissed off in the beginning when she told me that, but my mother would never get involved with my marriage. Never. Like I said, I used to go to her house and try to, you know, put my head in her lap, you know. And she was like, no, no. I would go to my mother's house and I would try to convince my mother. I would give her a call. I would try to convince her, you know, I would try to get my mother to be on my side. Nope, 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 nope. She would not do it. She said, no, I'm not getting involved in that. That's your wife. You married her. You go back home and you get your act together and you straighten that out and do what it is you have to do. And I was angry when my mother used to do that to me. But now when I look back on it, I'm grateful that she did that. I'm grateful that she sent me back. You know, I mean, I got divorced anyway. At the end of the day, I got a divorce. But I'm grateful that my mother, well, dang, I'm moving my head too much. I'm grateful that my mother made me go back home. Because after all, yeah, I was married and that was my house. Now, this lady who sent me an email, and like I said, I get emails about all kinds of stuff like conservation and pollution and, you know, the Arbor Society, people crying about trees and all kinds of stuff that I just, you know, I answer every email, but I don't always bring the stuff on the air. But, you know, I was compelled, you know, to bring this up on my radio show. Everybody, you're listening to the Ron Kelly Show. Okay, so now, that being said, now she says that every time, shout out to Lamont Gates who's watching the program. So she said that every time her husband and her got into an argument or whatever, he would go home to his mother and she would welcome him in. So her contention was that that a mother's love sometimes can be damaging. That's her contention. Her contention was that, and she made a unique kind of connection. I kind of, you know, had to look at it, you know, kind of, I had to flip it around and, you know, and try to get it together. But what she was saying was that because his mother was harming their marriage because she would take sides and she would let her son come in and spend a night or spend two nights or spend three nights, and that was harming their marriage. Now, her contention is that mothers who coddle their sons turn them into jellyfish. That's basically what she was saying, that mothers who allow their sons to stay home way past 30 and all that stuff, she was saying that. What she says is that, you know, black women, you hear a lot of black women talking about there's no good men, you know. But this young lady's contention was that it's not just homosexuality and it's not just prison or anything like that. It's mama's boys. So what she was saying was that basically that, you know, black women complain about there not being any black men when they deal with white women or whatever the case may be. But what she was saying was that a lot of the women coddle their sons so their sons like never grow up. And so her contention was that her husband has not grown up because every time he gets into something with her, he runs home. Now, somebody did put on Facebook earlier about he doesn't want to get he doesn't want to catch a case. And no, it's not that. It's not that. See, because you hear a lot of women say, and I'm not, you know, this is not the He-Man Woman Haters Club right here going on. I'm just addressing something that was brought to my attention from a listener from down in Virginia. So her intention was that those women out of their sons, that the sons never really grow up. So at the first sign of trouble, the sons tell haul buggy, like my mother used to say, back home to their mother because they're not grown enough to deal with what's going on because they were coddled and they were coddled and you know, by their mothers, so they never really had a chance to grow into men. That's basically what she was saying. And that's a very unique viewpoint because, you know, and I know I'm going to get phone calls. I know some women who have kids in their house, who have sons in their house over 30 years old. So I know I'm going to get some phone calls and probably some nasty phone calls, but I'm not talking about anybody I know. I'm talking about the correlation that this young lady made in the way she was looking at her husband. Like, you know, if he runs every time something goes on, then that's not being a man. And she's connecting that to the mother because the mother did coddle him and she protected him and she, you know, did everything, washed his clothes and all this stuff and never gave him a chance to be a man. So when it comes time to man up, he's not able to because he's been coddled and all there now, patted on the head by his mama when he was like 27. And so now he's not able to deal with things as a man because of the way his mother treats him. And, you know, and I kind of, you know, and when I was reading her email, I looked back on my own life. And like I said, my mother never got involved with me or anything that's going on with my wife. And I tried, believe me, I tried. But I appreciate my mother. She's no longer here. God bless her. She's no longer here. But my mother did not mince words. She did not, you know, she was like, get out, go back home. Wouldn't even let me spend the night. Nope, go back home with your wife. That's your wife. You married her. Go back home. And so there is a little bit of a, you know, and see, women today are not as hard on their sons as they were when I was growing up. Because when I was growing up, there wasn't no mama's boys. You know, there were some. I mean, I'm not going to say there were none. But when I was growing up, you had to handle your business. There were a lot of mothers who coddled us. And, you know, my mother never coddled me. And there, don't worry, you know. Come on, you can sleep on the couch. No, no. She said straight up. So I got to the point where I just stopped going back home because I knew that my mother wasn't going to take care of me. I knew it. You know, I'm a grown man. Now it's time for me to take care of my mother, you know. So after, well, I mean, I did deal with my wife. We did stay together for a while, and we did get divorced eventually. It didn't have nothing to do with my mother. But my mother was hard on me, you know. And, you know, when I moved out of, when I left home, I was like 19, 20 years old. I got tired of my mother telling me I can't have no girls in the house. So now I got tired of hearing that. So I moved. I mean, I was only right around the corner, but I did move, you know. And, you know, my mother was hard on me. And, you know, I'm hard on my own sons. I mean, I give them basically, I try to, you know, take care of things. And I'm not buying no cars, nothing like that, until you earn it. So that's basically what she was saying. And she has somewhat of a point. She has a point because a mother's love can be debilitating, you know, in some cases. A mother's love can be harmful in some cases. So what the young lady was saying was it's not about jail and it's not about homosexuality. It's not about the DL stuff. It's not about men, black men running to white women. It's about mothers who coddled, who are too soft with their sons. So the sons, every time there's a problem, bill got to be paid. Oh, I got a flat tire. Oh, this, oh, that, oh, the other. The mother jumps in and helps her son. Even though he's way past 21, she still jumps in and helps him. And, you know, and so that was what she was saying. And I kind of agree with her. Shout out to her. She's listening to the program. I apologize for not reading your whole email. But, yeah, I kind of agree with her that because you hear, you know, like every Father's Day, oh, I'm a mother and a father, too. No, you're not. No, you are not. No, you are not. You know, I'm not going to get into my own personal life, but, you know, no, there's no, my mother was not my father too. You know, my mother could never be my father and no mother could ever be a father. You know, let's just get that straight. But yeah, so I definitely do agree with her theoretically speaking, I do agree with her that women, some women are not hard enough on their sons, and their sons just lamp and chill and live with their mother way past the expiration date. And then when they finally do leave and something happens, they run right back home and the mother has the door already open. They don't even have to knock, you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, I love my mother. Believe me, whether she backed me up or not, I still love my mother, but I'm glad that she was hard on me when I was a young man growing up, because if she hadn't been hard on me, you know, I might have been in some trouble. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe I would have got in some trouble. So I'm glad that my mother was hard on me when I was a young man. So, you know, to the sister down there in Virginia, you know, I hope everything works out for you. And I do agree with you, theoretically speaking, I do agree with you that the mothers should, because fathers are always hard on the sons. I mean, that is no problem for us. But the mother, and you know, and the mother's love is special. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing like a mother's love. Mother's love is special. It really is. But sometimes a mother's love can be debilitating. Sometimes a mother's love can stunt a kid or son's growth. Sometimes a mother's love can stunt a man's growth if they allow it. So I do, again, for the 35th time, I do kind of agree with this young lady that, you know, that there needs to be, I mean, I don't know, like I said, I don't know. I divorced my wife, so, you know, but it wasn't because of my mother, and it wasn't because I wasn't man enough. I just divorced her because it wasn't working, you know, no matter what I did. In any case, everybody, it's like, so thank you. And, you know, I'm going to, every now and then, every couple of weeks or so, I'm going to pull one of those emails out if it's a compelling topic. I mean, the Sierra Club, save the trees, save the birds, save the elephants. I get those kind of emails too. Why don't I talk about this? Why don't I talk about that? And I'm like, you know, this is an Animal Planet. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to talk about that stuff, but I do answer them. But I don't talk about every topic that's sent to me. But yeah, but the mothers do need to be harder on their sons, because if you have a child living with you and he's over 30, you know, I mean, and if he's working and he's driving and all that stuff, I mean, what's the problem? I'm not going to say that he shouldn't be there. It's not my place to say that. But I know there's no way. No, my mother never would have let me live with her. I mean, 19, 20, I was out. You know what I'm saying? My mother never would have let me live with her at that age, like 30 and 40. She never would have done that. So anyway, so thank you to the sister. I can't say her name because she remained anonymous. I didn't want to read her email because somebody else who was listening down there in Virginia, because we do have, you know, some people down there who do listen to the Ron Kelly Show. I don't want people to, I didn't want to divulge her identity and make things worse. Okay, thank you to everybody who's watching the program. Thank you to all the folks who watch who listen on blogtalkradio.com. Wow. I appreciate everybody who listens, who checks in with me every Thursday night at 7 p.m. So we'll take a break. You know, when I come back, and thank you to the sister, thank you again. I hope everything works out for you. You know, turn that zero into a hero. No, let me stop. No. I agree with you. In theory, theoretically speaking, I do agree with you that women should be harder. Mothers should be harder on their sons, because when you coddle them and you placate them and you give them what they want, you let them stay with you forever, you are turn them into mashed potatoes. You turn them into mush. That part I do believe. Unless there's a special situation, the person may have a medical problem or some kind of psychological issue, that's something different. But I do think that women, mothers, should be harder on their sons, because what happens is the mothers are so hard on the daughters trying to stop them from getting pregnant that the sons get lost in the sauce. But I do agree with you in theory. Thank you so much for your email. Thank you to everybody who sends me email, even the Animal Planet people who send me emails, rkellytalk@awol.com. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back. But I'm going to dig into this other stuff that's going on. Man, the coronavirus is like raging across America, and it's the backstory to Biden and Trump. So we'll take a break, and we'll come right back with more of this program, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, touching up bars. How many cheeks in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I love golf, and I have some of the greatest golf courses in the world. I own Doral. I own some of the great, one of Turnberry in Scotland would have the British Open. Some of the greatest British Opens in the history of golf. I mean, some of the great Jack Nicklaus against Tom Watson. They say the Duel in the Sun, right, folks? The Duel in the Sun, the greatest tournament ever played was at Turnberry. The Duel in the Sun, Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson. So I have the greatest stuff. But you know what? And I love golf. But if I were in the White House, I don't think I'd ever see Turnberry again. I don't think I'd ever see Doral again. I own Doral in Miami. I don't think I'd ever see many of the places that I have. I don't ever think I'd see anything. I just want to stay in the White House and work my ass off, make great deals, right? Who's going to leave? Who's going to leave?
You're going to leave. You're going to leave. On January 20th, you're going to leave. Now, such utter nonsense. Welcome back, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on that web. I got to get used to saying that because the show is on the ground now. On the web, it's on blogtalkradio.com and on various stations across the United States of America. I need a studio to do my show in. I need a studio, but there's a couple of studios I was looking at, but they're just too far away. I don't want to go to Clifton. I don't want to go to Inglewood. I need someplace right here in the town where I live in, good old Montclair, New Jersey. I need a studio bad. I need more rooms. I feel like I'm doing my show in a closet. You know, I need more room to stretch out and do my show. So I got to find a there's going to be some improvements going on. You know, when the new year comes in, I got to find a producer, you know, because I'm tired of doing all of this stuff. I don't want to touch no computers or, you know, or anything like that. I just want to sit down and do the show and let somebody else take care of everything else. Shout out to Donnie Wilson, my brother, who like me, is on the road all day. Man, it's a miracle we haven't gone crazy yet. Shout out to Jimmy Williams, who says, I would love to give a big shout out to my beautiful daughter. Okay, Jimmy Williams gives a shout out to his beautiful daughter, Kayla Rose Williams. Tomorrow is her birthday. Well, shout out to Kayla Rose Williams. That's my kind of like my niece from another uncle. So shout out to you. And she's a very beautiful girl, Kayla Rose Williams. Tomorrow is your birthday. Congratulations to you and hope that you see many, many more. Okay. All right. So this is, because I watch a lot of news. I watch the news all the time, you know, because I have to know what I'm talking about when I come on the air. I don't want to come here and lie to y'all. This is the place where the truth comes out, right here on the Ron Kelly Show. I'm feeling pretty good. How y'all feeling out there? I'm feeling, despite the coronavirus and everything else that's going on, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty damn good, despite everything that's going on. But there's some people who are not feeling so good, and those are the folks who catch the coronavirus and had died. And there's 140,000 people. And so those are the people that we know about. I'm telling you, if they say thank you, love you too, my brother Jimmy Williams, who I worked with at one time, and we stayed friends after we parted company. We still stayed friends, even though we don't work in the same place no more. I work somewhere else. He works somewhere else. And he stayed my friend no matter what. And I love you, man, and I appreciate you, brother. Jimmy Williams, that's my brother right there. He, you know, we remain friends even though we didn't work at the same place. See, because most of the people that I've worked with before, I don't even talk to them more. So that's my boy, Clarence. Other than that, I don't really talk to anybody else but Jimmy. You know, Jimmy, you my man. I love you, man. Congratulations to your daughter. Kayla Rose Williams, everybody. Tomorrow's her birthday. Everybody, you know, wish her a happy birthday. Okay, so, yeah, so this is getting, you know, this Trump stuff is getting really ridiculous. Like I said, I watch a lot of news. I watch a lot of news. You know, I mean, I watch other stuff too now. But I have to, and a lot of times I don't even have show prep. I don't have nothing in front of me. I'm just able to talk from memory about all the things that I've sucked in. Well, that's not the right word. But, all stuff that I have to remember, you know, when I'm putting together my radio show. Shout out to Jazzy Jesters. I'm good, but most of all, I'm better than. That's right. That's right. I mean, feel good. Feel good. Find something to feel good about. Don't get bogged down by the coronavirus and all the other stuff that's going on. Find something to feel good about. See, this is my feel good thing right here. When I go on the radio and I'm talking to y'all, this is like a highlight, almost the highlight of my week. When I come out on the radio, when I'm able to talk to y'all, I'm able to talk to people all across the United States of America. And we're gonna be syndicated into big cities pretty soon. I know what's gonna happen. And I have y'all to thank because y'all, you, those of you who listen to the Ron Kelly Show and who watch R. Kelly live on Facebook, you give me the strength to go on, because I'm telling you, there was a whole bunch of times where I thought about quitting. I was like, I'm tired of this radio crap. I'm never going to make it. I guess I'm starting to sound like Joel Osteen now. I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to be anything. Nobody loves. I guess I'm starting to sound like him, who I do listen to, by the way, who I do listen to, the podcast Joel Osteen during the day when I'm at work. And if I lived in Texas, I would definitely go to that church up in the rafters. But anyway, so find something to feel good about. Find something to feel good about. See, because my radio persona is who I am. Bunny McKnight, Jimmy Williams, you guys, Donnie Wilson, you guys know me. You know, I don't have a Facebook personality and then, you know, I'm like a Jekyll and Hyde. No, I'm one person all the time. So what you see on the radio is the same thing that you'll see if you met me in person. Some of y'all who know me know that. And see, because you can't fake the funk when people know you. You know, and see, a lot of y'all be doing that, but somebody knows who you are. And a lot of y'all, and I be looking sometimes, I be like, no, that's not how you be acting. Come on now, all this magnanimous you know, all this humility. You know, that's not you. That's not you. But nobody can say that about me because, oh, you know, I'm over the top on the radio and I'm over the top in person. So there's no getting around it. But anyway, so let's get to everything, you know, like the Trump situation, everything is taking the backseat. Coronavirus, Black Lives Matter, you know, Jacob Blake, who's still in, and I haven't heard anything about Jacob Blake. Nothing. Since Jacob Blake, who got shot in the back 7 times by the police, I forget where it was. See, everybody forgot about Jacob Blake. Shout out to my son, R. Kelly Jr. Shout out to my son. And I'm hard on him too, but he's a man. He's a man. Because I'm hard on him, he's a man. So we forgot about Jacob Blake. We forgot about, you know, what happened in Philly. We forgot about, you know, everything is taking a backseat to the Trump and Biden nonsense. We forgot about Wisconsin, Milwaukee. We forgot about George Floyd. I mean, everybody is pushed to the back. And all you're going to see on TV now is Trump, Biden, Trump, Biden, Trump, Biden. Everything else, Black Lives Matter. You know, all of the stuff that's been going on behind the scenes, everybody's forgotten about because it's about Trump and Biden and Trump blocking Biden. See, because let me explain something to you. I did take my other break. Okay. It's called a transition. When one president is leaving and the other one is coming in, it's called a transition where the incoming president gets information of what the outgoing president, the incoming president gets information that's usually just given to the outgoing president. Like, for example, the president's, the PDB, the president's daily briefing. The president's daily briefing is a top secret document that tells the president everything that's going on in the world, stuff that we don't know about, conflicts and people getting ready to scrap and, you know, troop movements and, you know, and all kinds of intel is in the president's daily briefing. Now, the president, the incoming president-elect, is supposed to have access to that. Trump is not letting Biden have access to the president's daily briefing. And that's putting our country in a bad position, because other countries who might be looking to attack us, who might be looking to do something to us, might be looking to start something. This is the most vulnerable time for the United States of America when we're having a peaceful transfer of power, because most countries don't do it like we do it. But see, we have Trump and all the people who support Trump, and Trump is blocking the General Services Administration. It's not just the president's daily briefing, but the General Services Administration is supposed to give money, office space, supposed to give the incoming president access to the State Department and some of the stuff they got over there that he needs to answer world leaders who are calling. Trump's blocking all of that stuff, and he's putting it because he's so self-absorbed and self-centered. And he knows that he's putting our country in a bad position, but he's doing it anyway. And each one of those lawsuits, 12, 13, 4, each one of those lawsuits are getting thrown out. Even some of the law firms that Trump's campaign people try to hire, they walked out. They said, oh, we can't do this because there's no evidence. There's zero, you're right, that's right, Albert Vega, he doesn't care. There is zero evidence that there was any type of widespread voter fraud. Because, you know, there are people going to do stuff. I mean, you know, stuff's going to happen. Maybe dead people did vote. But not the whole graveyard didn't vote, just a couple of people. And you see, Biden won the popular vote by 5 million votes. 5 million votes. And I mean, just looking at that alone, you know, I mean, there was 5 million fake votes. There was 5 million dead people votes. Come on. Here's the deal, right? And now I'm going to tell you why the senators, Republicans are not pissing Trump off. Now, even though Trump lost, he still has a lot of power because 70 million people voted for Trump. Probably more than 70 million. The last time I looked, it was 70 million people who voted for Trump. That's a lot of people. Now, Biden's total was the highest in the history of the United States of America, 76 million votes and counting. Trump's was the second highest vote total in the history of the United States of America, even more than Barack Obama, more than Clinton, more than George Bush, more than Bush, Daddy Bush, more than Reagan, the most in the history of the United States of America. So Biden is number one, Trump is number two. The 70 million, that's a lot of people. And see, Trump's people are passionate. They're not just standing along the sidelines. Trump's people are passionate people. And see, so the Mitch McConnell and some of the other senators, United States senators, don't want to piss Trump's people off, because here's the deal. Now, we got that election in Georgia coming up, right? We got that election in Georgia with the rich white lady and I get it. I wasn't planning to talk about this. But anyway, but there's two runoff elections coming up in Georgia. Two. Now, Kelly Loeffler is the Republican candidate. This white lady's got a lot of money, and a Reverend Raphael Warnock. That's it. See, that's why I got to watch all this news. Reverend Raphael Warnock against Kelly Loeffler. Now, Reverend Warnock got twice as many votes as Kelly Loeffler did, but there was a third person who peeled off some votes, so Reverend Warnock didn't get the 50% that was needed for him to win that election. So, so we got two Senate races going on. Now, in Georgia, for the first time since 1992, has voted Democrat. The last time a Democratic presidential candidate won an general election in Georgia was 1992. It was Bill Clinton. So Bill Clinton was the last 28 years, seven presidencies ago, Bill Clinton was the last Democratic presidential candidate to win in Georgia. So, but hold on a second. Shout out to Jimmy Williams. Remember, people, Trump went bankrupt seven times and told us to our faces to use our own law. Yeah, and when Hillary Clinton, in reference to Jimmy Williams, when Hillary Clinton said, you hadn't paid any taxes, and Trump said, yeah, because I'm smart. Everybody heard that. Timothy Cameron says some of Trump's people are on super steroids. Some are just, some people just, follow the herd. Some people just follow the crowd. People would get it. Why don't you take up this five-face challenge or five-picture challenge? Why don't you be the avatar? I say, I don't follow the herd. I don't follow the herd. I go the opposite way. Now, the salmon swims upstream. That's me. I'll swim upstream, even though it's harder and even though I'm sweating and whatever. But the difference between me and the salmon is I don't go upstream to die. I go upstream to live. But anyway, so we have an election coming up in January 5th. There's two senatorial elections, Reverend Warnock and Kelly Loeffler, and then there's two other people. Now, again, they're going to be runoff elections because neither one of them got 50%. So the senators, the reason why they're not saying anything, the reason why they're just going on whatever Trump says, they don't want to piss Trump people off, because Trump's got a lot of power in this country. Trust me, even though he lost, because black folks voted, black folks are what carried Biden to the White House. Black folks. So, you know what? We got to take that chip and we got to cash it in. We have to cash that chip in. We have to stop supporting people and not getting nothing out of it. It's time for us to cash that chip in. And Joe Biden was circling the bowl. You know how the turd be going around and around before it finally go down? Well, that was Joe Biden's campaign. It was going around in the bowl and it was about to go down inside the hole when he went to South Carolina, and black folks, and not to alienate anybody else, but black folks turned out, and because Joe Biden had lost the first four primaries. He was done. It was a wrap. You know, the air was out of the balloon. You know, his race was over. But when he went to South Carolina, and Representative Jim Clyburn endorsed him, and that's when he was on his way. He won South Carolina. He won another state. Super Tuesday came. He won all of those states. So, but now there's an election coming up in Georgia for two Senate seats. And these two, and if the Democrats win these two, it'll be 50-50. And then Vice President Kamala Harris will be the tiebreaker, because the vice president is the president of the Senate. And she would be the tiebreaker. So if it's 50-50 on anything, Kamala Harris would be the tiebreaking vote. So they're trying not to piss Trump's people off, because they need the Republicans need those two. They need those two seats in order to maintain control of the Senate. But if the Democrats win, it's going to be a problem. So that's why. So if you wonder why the Republicans are still supporting Trump, are they scared of Trump? Yeah, they are, because they're afraid that if Trump turns on them, Trump's voters are going to turn on them. And Trump controls his voters like just pressing a button, you know. And Timothy Cameron is right. Some of his people, and some of them are just followers, because some people just follow whatever, because they don't have the ability to lead. So, yeah, so that's where we're at. And like I said, everything else is in the back burner. George Floyd, the killings, and a couple of people got killed since George Floyd got killed. And it's all pushed to the back because of Trump Biden. But I am feeling very good that Biden won. And, you know, you can't go into a poker game trying to force pity-pat rules on the players. In order for us to get anywhere in the United States of America, we have to learn how to play, because we can't change the game. We're not going to, we don't have billions and billions and zillions of dollars. There ain't a whole lot of us in the 1%. So we have to learn how to play the game rather than having these nonsensical, expletive filled F this, F that on Facebook, because it's not solving anything. And like I said, you can't change the rules. Sometimes you have to learn the game and play to win. You can't always demand this. Oh, we're going to demand. No, you can demand all you want. We're demanding reparations. We've been demanding reparations for 100 years. Where they at? Still ain't getting them. And Biden is not going to give them to us either. You know, Ronald McCready, my brother, says the world is happy that Biden won. Yeah, the whole world is happy that Biden won. Because Trump is exhausting. I mean, it's been a long 4 years. It's been a long 4 years. So let him go ahead and file his nonsensical, frivolous lawsuits. They're all going to be thrown out. They're all being thrown out already. He lost 12 times already. He's going to lose the rest of them, and he's going to have to understand that you are no longer the president. And I get it. Being the president has got to be the biggest ego trip ever. I mean, if you can't get any more egotistical than that, being the president. I mean, and the real reason why 60 seconds left. The real reason why Trump wants to stay president is because he knows that once he leaves office, the handcuffs are coming. once Trump leaves office, the handcuffs are coming. And his family is going to prison, too, for all the crap that they've done over the years. Shout out to Jazzy Justice. I was really enjoying listening to you tonight. Must tune in more often. Yes, you must tune in more often, Jazzy Justice. Yes, you must. Yeah. And I appreciate you for listening as well. Yeah, so Trump knows that's the main reason why Trump wanted to stay president, because he knows the handcuffs. That sister in New York, what's her name? The Attorney General. She's people looking. Anyway, I'm out of here. Everybody, thank you so much for listening to me. Remember that it's nice to be important, but it's much more important to be nice, and that we may not have it all together, but together we can certainly have it all. Thank you so much, and I think I'm done.